Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
On this episode of Get Judged by Byron Brown. For every pregnancy, that doctor prescribed you acetaminophen. Is that correct?
Goodness knows I took my fair share of it.
Feels like it requires a conversation with self-accountability.
What exactly was your investment, Shannon?
I invested $4,200.
Even regardless of the criticism, it didn't dawn on you?
Poor Shannon.
Or not poor Shannon.
No.
I'm Byron Brown, the anti-lawyer lawyer. I'm a husband and a father. I fight for the little guy. And I'm a no-nonsense lawyer with a reputation for never losing in court. I'll judge your situation, and I'll tell you straight out if you got a case. It may not be the answer you want, but it will be the judgment you need. Time to get judged by me, Big B. Hey, everyone, this is Get Judged by Byron Brown, and I'm Byron Brown, and with me, as always, is Donya the Duchess, taking your calls, as always. We've got another great show lined up for you, so let's go.
All right, this caller's question is something that I've actually thought about. I've wondered about it, and I know a lot of people at home are thinking the same thing and want your take on it. So, Anne, you're on with our lawyer, Byron Brown. What's your question?
Hi, Byron. I have a question about class actions. I'm not real sure what a class action is, and I think I need to join one, but I don't know if I should. And so that's my main reason, and I'm so excited to get to talk to you today.
Well, thanks, Anne. So first of all, a class action is just when multiple people come together with a common claim against one party. So who do you believe you may have a claim against?
I'm not sure, but I've been reading a lot of articles about taking Tylenol while you're pregnant leads to autism and ADD. And I've been seeing some advertisements for it too. And I'm a mom. My kids, I love them. They're great, but every one of them either has ADD or autism. And my doctor totally told me to do it, and I did. And goodness knows, I took my fair share of it. And I don't know if that's why my kids are suffering now. Oh, I don't know. It's also upsetting to talk about. So I'm not sure if I want to jump into something that's going to bring up all of this and maybe make trouble.
No, I understand where you're coming from. So you said you went to your doctor. Did you have the same doctor for all of your children?
Yes.
Okay. And then that doctor prescribed you acetaminophen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
For every pregnancy, that doctor prescribed you acetaminophen. Is that correct?
That it is. Yes. Okay.
And how about the frequency, Anne? Were you taking it every day, twice a week? How would you describe the frequency?
I probably did take it every day.
What symptoms do you believe that your children have exhibited as a result of being diagnosed with autism or ADD?
So they have a real hard time learning, and they have hyperactivity, and they can't focus and concentrate. And as a result, we have had to take them to specialized schools, special need programs.
In the family history of either the father of your children or your own family, is there any history of autism or ADHD?
No, that's not.
And the reason why that's important is, first of all, is the lawyer that you speak to at some point about the class action is going to want to know if there's any history of it. Because if there is a history of it, then the question you're going to be asked, and it's going to be the main argument you're going to face, is how do you know that any one of your children wouldn't have been diagnosed with autism and or ADHD just based upon family history? There's a little downside to you joining a class action, Anne. Everything that you've told me kind of fits within that rubric of qualifying to join the class action on acetaminophen, but you're going to want to contact one of those lawyers. As the advertisements that you've referenced about those class actions, you want to call that number, because every class action has one lead law firm or lawyer assigned to it. And that firm will ask you a bunch of questions. They're going to ask you just what I ask you, frequency, dosage. They're going to want to have objective records to prove what you've said. So the fact that you went to the same doctor and that doctor diagnosed you on every one of your pregnancies to take acetaminophen, that is a record of your consumption of the acetaminophen, which is exactly what you need. And then you add that with the symptoms and the diagnoses that your children have received as a result of you consuming acetaminophen, then I think, and again, you're still going to want to contact that lead lawyer, but I think you have a case. And like I said, there's little downside to joining these class actions. It's not going to consume a bunch of your time or money. You're going to likely have to do a phone call with a lawyer. Likely that lawyer is going to want you to give them some documentation. But after that documentation, then you likely don't have to do much until that law firm reaches out to you regarding the settlement, because these things usually settle before they go to trial.
Good luck, Anne.
And this is my final statement, Anne. Good luck. Have you ever joined one of those class actions, Donia?
I did, actually. That's what I was really interested to find out what your take was on this. So when I was an intern years and years and years ago, not dating myself, I just turned 21. But when I was an intern, it was in a time when you didn't have to pay interns. And so I worked and I was making about $25 a day, which barely covered my commute to work. So a few years later, I ended up getting one of those little postcards or something in the mail to join a class action lawsuit to receive back pay for all the time that I did as an unpaid intern. And I ended up getting a check for like $4,000. So Anne, if you're listening to Byron, can't hurt.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say, right? A lot of people don't have the means or maybe the time to hire a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So jumping on or piggybacking on a class action, just like you just said, right?
Right.
My wife does the same thing. She'll get the notices in the mail about like a battery in a flashlight, and she'll do it. She might get the check in the mail, maybe $7.50, but she's happy she did
it. Hey, $7 goes a long way.
Hey, it's better than kicking the teeth. Welcome back. What do we got, Donia?
All right. I don't know about this one, Byron, but it feels like it requires a conversation with self-accountability. I'll let you hear it and see what you have to say about it. But Shannon, you're on with Byron, our lawyer. What's your question?
Hi. Can I sue to recover money that I invested into a cryptocurrency project?
What exactly was your investment, Shannon? Did you have a written contract?
Well, to be honest, it was a couple of years ago and I've matured a lot. I was a little bit naive maybe at the time. And I thought about signing papers. In fact, I thought the gentleman that was over everything that we're here talking about today was going to send out paperwork for us to sign, but we never did. And to be honest, what happened was a group of friends and myself, we all were trying to come up on this brand new project. Everything looked real good. And we were trying to get into the beginning stages, get these miners that made money. Basically, they sync to Wi-Fi. You have to put them up, you know, all around the town or whatever to sync them to Wi-Fi, and they're little money makers is what they were supposed to do, and trying to create some passive income for everybody. Myself, I invested $4,200.
Hey, Shannon, can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Sure.
Sorry. I don't know anything about crypto. So just briefly describe to me what crypto is, please.
Okay. So cryptocurrency is kind of like for folks in my generation, like a new way to wealth. It's instead of stocks, you have crypto coins. They're kind of digital coins. They're not really, it translates to cold hard cash to real money, but it, until you cash it out, it's kind of just a decimal point. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's what I was thinking. It's much like stock, right? So the value of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, right, it fluctuates a lot, correct?
That's right.
And this is a new area that's just coming of age, so to speak, and there's still a lot of criticism about it, correct?
That is absolutely true.
So even regardless of the criticism, it didn't dawn on you, or you didn't push to have a written agreement?
Well, at the time, this was 2 years ago when it was still even newer, and it was kind of a cutting edge, you know, and me personally, I was looking to create some passive income. And I mean, sure, you have your apprehensions, but the situation is this guy is very well respected, very wealthy guy. He's made of money, you know, and in a fairly large city, too.
How do you know he's made of money?
Just from what I hear, I sort of know him. He's kind of a peer.
What do you mean you sort of know him? He's a peer. Okay. So, those two aren't the same. If he's a peer, he's your friend. If you don't know him, you don't know him. So what is it?
Okay. So my best friend is good friends with him. So it's kind of one of those things. And I've known of
my best friend knows someone from Canada. Do you know that person? So that's that kind of connection, right? Very tangential connection. Would you agree, Shannon?
Well, I just know this guy has money and I wanted to get in on a project with him.
Okay.
That I thought would be sustainable for years to come.
Did this guy make his money off cryptocurrency or did he make his money some other way?
I think he's made some money in cryptocurrency, but he's also lost a lot of money in cryptocurrency. I think he's made his money otherwise. I think he had money before he even moved to the United States.
Okay. And when you say a couple of years ago, how much time has passed since this is very relevant. So how many years exactly has it been since you gave this guy a chunk of change and you got nothing in return?
April 2021.
How many people invested in a similar situation to yourself?
Six.
Okay. And did any of the six people get any of their money back?
No one has. And the other people don't seem to be as worried about it. I also know of another team that he did the same thing with, and they actually confronted him about it and he gave them back their money. But I don't have people on my team that are, you know, that dedicated to the mission.
Do you have anything in writing at all? Text messages? Anything, emails, do you have anything, an exchange in written form between you and this crypto guy?
I could probably look some up and find some, sure.
Well, what do you mean you look some up? I mean, if this was that devastating, Shannon, I mean, you should know what you have or what you don't have. So do you think you have something in writing or you don't? Because again, that's a huge factor.
I'm more of a phone talker, so I would talk on the phone more with this. I didn't really do text messaging with a business conversation.
Hey, Shannon, how hard did you work to make that $4,200?
Very hard, and I'm still working hard trying to get it back.
Exactly, right? So if you work that hard for your money, don't you think sure. It would be a little bit more important to be more than a phone guy, especially when you're investing $4,200 that you've worked extremely hard to obtain?
Absolutely. Like I've learned a lot from the situation. I just didn't think somebody was going to rob me. I've now realized that people aren't who they say they are. And I'm not so gullible anymore.
Shannon, one more question. Do you have any proof that you took this money out of your bank account or underneath your mattress and handed it to this crypto guy?
Yes, I do. It was the day I went to go and do it. It was two different times. It was $2,500 one time. And the $1,700 the next time.
So when you say time, you mean you went to the bank and you withdrew the money and on two different occasions you did that. So I'm assuming you'd have a bank statement showing you withdrawing the money. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay, so here's your issue, Shannon. First one is there's been a lot of time that's passed. So you're going to want to check the state that you're in on the statute of limitations. It looks like from what you've said to me that this guy probably committed fraud, meaning his conduct was intended to deceive you out of money. You might have a statute of limitations issue. And if you do, that means you're SOL. You're out of luck. You're not going to be able to pursue a claim against them. And as far as the proof you have, it sounds like you have no proof. And the bank statements, all that shows is you withdrew the money. You could have donated that to your church or lost it on roulette in Las Vegas. That right. is going to get you nowhere. So unfortunately, I don't think you got a leg to stand on unless you have not blown your statute of limitations. So that's what you want to do. Whatever state you're in, just jump on Google and Google the statute of limitations for fraud. Thanks, Shannon. He shoots. He misses.
Poor Shannon.
Or not poor Shannon.
No, okay.
No. Come on, man. You work hard for your money. I work hard for mine. If I'm going to hand over $4,200 to someone, you're telling me you're not going to do it in writing?
Listen, I am totally with you, but I also feel like I kind of giggled to myself at the end when you were like, you should Google the statute of limitations. That was my first thought when he's like, yeah, this guy has money or no, I don't know. And maybe he lost it before he came to the United States. I'm like, first of all, where did he come from? Like, how do you know him? Did you Google him? Like, what are his stats? I want to know everything because to me... It sounds like he had good intention and in trying to double his money with his friends and like do all of these great things and grow his wealth. But he shot and he missed.
He shot a shot and he missed.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that I always tell people. You don't know how many times I've received questions from people. And a lot of times, man, Google's a wonderful thing. I'm not telling you that you need to become a Google lawyer and do that for yourself and go to court. But as far as some of these preliminary issues, imagine if he just Googled, hey, business transaction or investment of money. Yep. What do I need to do that? You would have at least got something.
Right.
And I guarantee it would have told him to put it in writing.
I totally agree with that. Also, crypto is a whole foreign field to me. I have no clue what it is, how it works. To me, I'm very old school. I like tangible in my hands. I like to hold money as gross as it can be. I like to touch it. I know it's there. Like, I don't know, man. He just got scammed.
I think that's the intriguing part about crypto, right? As you heard, people making millions and losing millions. And I think most people are hoping that they can make a flip buck as opposed to investing that $4,200 in some sort of stock like Amazon that's never going to go bad, right?
But now they have you, Byron Brown, or anti-lawyer lawyer. <help you. laughs>